Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Beis with the very last lines, the words of Velo Mekachin. So the Mishnah is discussing different things that are usher to do on Shabbos. We had different rishus, different things that are tzarech. We're going to get to tzarech mitzvah. So these are in the category still of tzarech rishus. So the Gemara says Velo Mekachin, you're not allowed to get married. This is referencing to the Erisin stage, the stage where a person is acquiring the wife, and that's going to be usher. So the Gemara says, bothered by, wait a second, why is this in the category of rishus? V'ha mitzvah ka'avid, a person's performing the mitzvah. We know that a person is mechayev the mitzvah of peruvu, and that is the mitzvah, or it might be an inherent mitzvah itself to get married. That's the whole shaila, the famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. Is getting married simply, is it a mitzvah in itself, or is it maybe only a hechsher mitzvah? But either way, that is for sure something that you're doing a mitzvah to enabling. Everyone agrees the ikkar would be the point of marriage is peruvu, to be mechayev the mitzvah of peruvu, to have children. So the Gemara says lo tzricha. So this terminology is only because turning on to the next time now to islay isha abanim, where a person already has a wife and children. And Rashi says there's a machlokas fundamentally in Gemara Mivamos Samachal Vabez whether or not, according to Beis Shammai, it means Shnei Zacharim, that if you have two males, because Moshe Rabbeinu can be the Moshe Rabbeinu for sure kept mitzvah peruvu, so Beis Shammai learns it out, or you need a Zachar and a Keva, that's what Beis Hillel learned out. But so we pass in that only through a person could have 10 boys and his onus, obviously, or 10 girls, and he's not Mekayim the mitzvah of peruvu. But the mitzvah peruvu is only a Zachar and a Keva. So still, that is not going to be, at that point, you're not going to be fully, Rashi also knows, kuli high, because there's still a mitzvah, because the Gemara says, bebokeh zara zarecha, even a person should have children, even in his older age, there's still a mitzvah, there's also a mitzvah of sheves, midir abanan, and shechli, so like, quote, I don't know where he got this from, he would quote that peruvu is the mitzvah of zachar nekeva, and then after that is sheves, is if you have two more children, and then after that, you'd be the mekayim, the abshech, the other pasuk in koeles, bebokeh zara zarecha, arev lasanach, don't stop at nighttime, meaning referencing when you're older, you should also have children. But either way, the Gemara is telling us right now, if you're ready to fulfill the obligation, then the person is it's going to be considered in the category of Rashus, reference to, again, that it's not a full-fledged Chiyuv at that point, because at that point you already have Mekayim the mitzvah of Peruvu. According to Rashi, this would say that even with someone without a wife, this is similar to the Machlokas we had before about being down in Shikase, the Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, that before, even someone without a wife is going to be usher to marry a woman on Shabbos. The Gemara is just using this as an example, as categorically we're going to call it Rashus, because sometimes it's not a full-fledged mitzvah. However, that's Rabbeinu Tam, she says it before, and it's very mistaken in the fact Lashon Gemara, but both here and before, that only in a case where, in a Chanami, where this Mishnah was talking about a Rashus, that's when you would not be allowed to get married on Shabbos. But in a Chanami, if a person hasn't got married yet, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that would be mutter. And the similar thing that we had before about judging a case, we said where if there's a Gadol Mimena, then you shouldn't judge, but if you are the Gadol Mimena, you are the main judge, then in a Chanami, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that would be you would be allowed to do it on Shabbos as well. The machlokas, fundamental machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam for the understanding of the Gemara. Now the Mishnah continued, the Mishnah said, Lo chotzin v'lo miyabin, you're not allowed to perform chalitza or yibum. Gemara says, wait a second, that's also v'am mitzvah kavid, that's a full-fledged mitzvah. So how is it you're telling me that this is called something that's a rishus, and like quasi-mitzvah, it's only categories, and that's not a full-fledged mitzvah? So Gemara says, no, I'll give you an example, Latzricha te'ika gadol, we're talking about where the person, the galacha of yibum is that when a man Nebuch dies, or Falun he dies, and he doesn't have any children. So the halacha is that any of that person's brothers have to do either Yibum, he marries that woman, or, and then his children through her, or he does Chalitza. So now, why is it that this is not a full-fledged mitzvah? So the Gemara says, because we're talking about a kid where there is an older brother, and the Gemara learns out in Yevamos, that based on the pasuk over there, the Gemara learns out that the oldest brother is the main chiyuv to perform that mitzvah, and then after that, it would subsequently go on to the teshayla and the shulchan aruch. Is it just at that point? Is it just the old? Everybody agrees that based on Gemara's beferish, it's the oldest brother. But once the older brother doesn't do it, is it a chiyuv to go in the order of the brothers? Like there's four brothers, then you have to go to the second oldest, the third oldest, etc. Or do we assume that it just goes to all the younger brothers at once? All three of them would then if one of them wants to perform the mitzvah, any of them would have kedimas at that point. But either way, it's a mitzvah, but Gadol B'Yibam, we're talking about whether they were on the younger brothers, not the older brothers, so therefore we're not calling a full-fledged mitzvah, because they have to wait to see if the older brother is going to perform the mitzvah or do chalitza, then we'd give it to the younger brothers. So Gemara says, the kula mai taima, so why are all these cases usher? Meaning they're all things that are, somewhat of a chiyuv to do at some point, and in certain cases mamash chiyuv, so then why are we not allowing it on Shabbos? Because Gemara says, Gzira Shema Yachtav. In all these cases, if you write it, if you have a court case for a fraid, you'll write up the, what the psak din was. Or if you have a case of a kedushin, we know that a woman isha niknis b'shalosha drachim, kesef shtar bia. Shtar. That's bia's usher. Anyway. After Rav, so the only way to do it is Shtar, or through Kesef, or Shavei Kesef, but, so the half the ways to do it is through a Shtar, we're afraid he'll come to write, which we know is an Isra Dereis, obviously, which would clearly not be allowed. And Chalitza also, we're afraid they'd give a Ptur, that a Chalitza took place in order that she could get remarried, that would be also a problem of Shemayachta, that's why all these cases are going to be Usr. The Gemara continues, Ve'eluhein Mishumit, so these cases are things that are going to be Usr Mitzad, a Mitzah Shabo, Lo, Makdishin, Ve'lo Marichin, Ve'lo Machrim, and again, you can't make something hektish, you don't make something, you can't take an erichin and value that the Torah stipulates different values for a male and a female, different ages. Each one of them has different value, and give that value to the base of Migdash, or declaring a chayram or declaring a property a chayram and making it consecrating toward the base of Migdash. All those things are asr. The Gemara says, why? Because this is something which is like doing commerce, doing business on Shabbos, and we know Rashi quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Mimtzel Chetzecha V'davar Davar, that it says that literally you shouldn't go in your own ways and you should do things. Davar Davar, discuss things that are forbidden on Shabbos. So engaging in commerce, engaging in business is asr on Shabbos. Or Rashi says, Inami Mecha Chomemkar, Arzad Iksiva, it's a similar thalacha. We say Mecha Chomemkar, that is going to lead you eventually to Mecha Chomemkar's Gzira, out to the fact that you'll come to write. So Gemara says, wait a second, according to that explanation though, that's a double Gzira. First I'm coming to business, and then business is, I'm coming to write. So Rashi gives an example gives the answer that the Gemara will say all the time, is Kulachat Gzira. No, that was all one in the same, that we were sure that when you're coming to write or do business, for sure you're going to come to write. That's like obvious, you write receipts. That's what people do all the time. Right? Everyone who goes to a store is entitled to a receipt, so clearly you're going to come to write. That's all part of the same Gzira, Rashi says, and it's a Gzira Shemiyachtov. When you're doing business, you're going to come to write. That's what Rashi says. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Velo magbi and Trumos and Maisers, so now let's separate Trumos and Maisers and Shabbos, and where says Pshita? It's going to be clearly near Kamesakin, or maybe we, the Rosh Hashanah explains, no, we learned it earlier. It's a base fair Mishnah that already says, you know, take out Chumas and Maisa. So that, why is the Mishnah repeating itself? So where's the Tanner of Yosef? As Rashi points out, that, if I would have, when I'm just taking off Chumas and Maisa, I take it, I put it to the side, so that's clearly near Kamesakin, and only because I want to use it, that's why it's going to be Pashad Asr. However, when a case where I'm taking the Chuma and I'm delivering it to the Kohen, so all I'm doing is bringing my Chuma to the Kohen, I would have thought I'm doing it to give him Simchas Yantiv, because he's an Ani, somebody needs the money, and I know he needs that money, so therefore it wouldn't be Nirek Masakhan, I would just think that you're doing Tzedakah, you're just giving him some money on the day of Yantiv to be able to eat something. So the Gemara says, that's the Chiddush, that would, even that case would be Asr. Again, that was the Havamina would be okay, and the answer is that even that would be Asr. If you brought Bayom giving it to a Kohen, that's still going to be Asr, because Nira Kimasakin, even in that circumstance. Like, Marzis Vahani Mili, period, it's Tfilah Be'atmol, but that Chovna would only apply to Tevel, which was Tevel before Yantiv, which you could have been Misakin, about period, it's Tfilah Einab, but something which is Tevel today, an example, Kagon. Isa, the first Shimon Chala, let's say you're having Chala, you want to need Chala to have fresh Chala, which we said before, is totally Mutar on Yantiv. So then, you would have to Marfish and the Kohen, you take off Chala, which is a portion of similar to Chuma, and separating it on Yantiv, and therefore, since you're not allowed to separate the challah before it becomes a dough, and you're allowed to eat the fresh challah on Yantiv, so therefore, you would be allowed to separate it on Yantiv, that case would be mutter. V'ha'neim v'shum r'shus ika, v'shum shvus leika, wait a second, why are we using also the r'shus and chov over here? L'chor, they're also m'shum r'shus, they're also an isidur abanav, v'ha'neim v'shum mitzah ika, and then also, they were in the category of a mitzah, m'shum shvus leika, they're not also going to be isidur, usually an isidur abanav is generally categorized as a shvus. So these things are all going to be isidur b'nirbanav mitzah shvus, and also there's a shtickle mitzah also, so why are they calling them shvus? And where it says, Amr Yitzchak, Lomi Bai Kama. No, the Mishnah means to say not only this, but also that. What does that mean? Not only this, but that. Rather, Lomi Bai Shvus. Not only that these are all Shvus greatest of the Asr, that these are just the Shvus, which is general activities, which are just things that are for leisure. Those things we mentioned, like going up a tree, the animals. Those things. Afil Shvus, there is Shvus Nami Asr. That even a Shvus, which is in the second category of something which is a non-mandatory mitzvah, something which is a mitzvah but not a full fledged chiyuv. In the examples that we gave, because of the permutations that we gave, and therefore not a full fledged chiyuv. Even that is going to be Asr. And Lomi Bai, not only. Only a shvus to rishus to us, or something which is a shtickle mitzvah, a somewhat of a mitzvah. Again, the rishus over here meant some close to a full fledged mitzvah, full fledged chiyah, but not fully. Elafil a shvus to mitzvah nami asr. Even a shvus which is an outright mitzvah, something which is mamish. An example of something that's a full-fledged mitzvah, which you do, when in the circumstance that you're in, you amish have to do it, in the case of giving hektish or whatever, erichid, all those examples of things you have to do, you're not allowed to do those mitzvahs even on on Shabbos Yontov, Gzira Shemayachtov, as Rashi pointed out, that would be an Isser because you're going to come to do business, and which is going to come to lead you to write. Okay, so that's what we said in the Mishnah. And now, the Mishnah also said, Koli L'Biyomtov Amru and Kol Shekein B'Shabbos, that it was Ein Bein Shabbos B'Yomtov El Ocha Nefesh Bilvad. The Gemara says, Ramin, is that really true? We just had the previous Mishnah. What do you mean? The Gemara says that there's no difference except for that these cases would be halachas of the same Shabbos Yontov. There's no difference between Shabbos Yontov except for cooking. The Gemara says, what do you mean? We just had in previous Mishnah, Mashlilin, Derech Rabbi B'Yomtov Avalo B'Shabbos. You're allowed to lower produce through the skylight in Yomtov because of the financial loss Shabbos. However, on Shabbos, which is an Isser Skila, which is more Chamor, we did apply the Tirch Yasira to not allow you for the financial loss to bring it through this example. So we see a Beferish Chilik between Shabbos and Yomtov that does not apply to Halacha Nefesh. It has to do with Tircha of moving things, and yet it's Asher on Shabbos and Mutar on Yomtov. So Gemara says, Amar Yosef Lokasha Har Beliazer Har Rabbi Yeshua, that the Mishnah over there that applies all the Shabbos Halachas without exception to Yomtov, that our Mishnah over here is going to follow the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, and elsewhere with regards to Yomtov is Machmir on financial loss. He says, he would not allow you to move through a skylight, and therefore he would disagree with the previous Mishnah. So this Tam Mishnah is disagreeing with the previous Mishnah. And Harav Yeshua, while the previous Mishnah is following Rabbi Yeshua, it was Mekel on the cases of financial loss. And where do I know that they're Mekel and Machmer? The Sana we learn in the following example. Osav Espinosh Nafla Bor. If you have an animal and its offspring that both fell into a pit, what's the problem if it's an animal and its offspring? Because you want to take it out. So normally, you're only an animal's Mukta. However, since on Yantav, you're allowed to Shecht it, so then I'm allowed to take it out. But there's a Tirchir Sarah to taking it out. So the only way, because I'm allowed to shecht it, that's the reason I'm allowed to take it out. But there's an Isser Dereisa to shecht both the animal and its offspring on the same day. Also, what does Pano is the Kzeres HaKosev that you're not allowed to shecht them on the same day. So if I'm only allowed to shecht one of them, so Lechora, I should only allow to take out one. That's what I would have thought. Rabbi Lezer, Omer Malas, Arishan, Amanas, Shelfta, Vashelfta. Rabbi Lezer says, you take out the first one in order to shecht it. Vashini also pronounced Makum Kedesh Layamas in the second one. I'm not allowed to shecht, so then I could give it to Mazonos, I could feed it in the pit. I try to make sure it doesn't die, but I'm not allowed to remove it because that's a Tirch HaSir on Shabbat on Yantif. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Malas, Arishan, Amanas, Shelfta, Vashelfta. You look at it, you take it out, you say, oh, you know what? Actually, I decided I don't want to do it. So this is a Harama. Harama means that you're not really planning on doing it. This is like a I still haven't got a good translation for Harama. But something it's not like cheating, but something where you know it's not etzem, that it's a halachic a loophole. That's a good way. A halachic loophole to get out of it is that you really look at it, you pretend like you're really going to use it, but you don't actually use it. V'chozer marim alash hashem, and they can bring out the second one, and you could use that, this halachic loophole that you... even though you can pretend, but you show that it didn't mean, people are going to think, oh, he wanted to shecht the first one, and then it wasn't good enough, so then he wanted to eat the second one. Ratzah zeshochah vezeshochah, and Rabbi Yeshua then says that you can take out both, and you can shecht whichever one you want. So we see Rabbi Yeshua is makel in the case of financial loss to take it out, whereas Rabbi Lazar would be machmer. So the Gemara wants to say that similar, Rabbi Yeshua will tell you that lowering the produce in the skylight would be okay if it's a financial loss, where Rabbi Lazar will be machmer. The Gemara says, no, you don't compare the two cases. You can't say that Rabbi Lazar would be machmer in both cases, Rabbi Yeshua necessarily be makel. The cases aren't comparable. How do you know that that's true to compare these cases? Dilma, there, you're avoiding a financial loss also. But that's more annoying, but you have to go to the pit each time to feed your animal, but you have to leave it in the pit because the animal's not going to die in the pit. However, he would agree that, but when it came to the example of the produce, if you remember, the produce was going to spoil because it's going to get ruined because of the rain. So there's nothing you could do. If you don't take it down, it's going to get ruined. So there, Rabbi Lazar might agree that it's fully going to get lost, that he'd be makel, and he would allow you to lower it on Yantav. So who has to assume that he's going to disagree with the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah? Inami, or you could say the other way. Adkan lokam Rabbi Yeshua hasam eladash l'rmi. There, because we have the halachic loophole to allow you to take out both animals. But where there is no halacha loophole to allow you to remove the produce through the skylight, maybe he'll agree that it's going to be usher to remove it through the skylight, and therefore you can't assume that these two Mishnayos are the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar, because maybe each one doesn't line up with the previous Mishnah. How do you assume that that would be the case, that the previous Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, and this is Rabbi Lazar? The Gemara has just proved that maybe Ba'etzim, both of them could have been fit with the previous Mishnah, so we don't know, and therefore you can't assume that that's the correct answer. So the Gemara says, so how are we going to answer the contradiction? Again, previous Mishnah says that there is a chilik between Shabbos and Yontav and the halachas that don't apply to Ochel Nefesh. And our Mishnah says beferish that there is no chilik between Ochel Nefesh and there is no chilik between Shabbos and Yontav, only Ochel Nefesh. So which is it? So the Gemara says, Elamar, Papa, how do we answer this question? Lokasha, Habet Shammai Beisila. No, that the Mishnah, which is Machmir, our Mishnah over here, which is there's nothing different between Shabbos and Yontav, that's Beis Shammai, and the Mishnah allowing the skylight is going to be Beis Hillel. Disnan, the Mishnah tells us, Bishame Omrim, Ein Motzina Sakatan, Azulav, Vesloy Sefer Torah, Lushus Rabbin. You're not allowed to carry a child, a Lulav, or Sefer Torah, into the public domain, and Yantav, Vesel Matiran, because of, we know that the whole concept of carrying is Mitoch Shehutra, that it's a Tzorah Chalta Nefesh, you could do it, Shalol, Tzorah Nechav, that's a concept of Mitoch. Bishame reject the whole concept of Mitoch, they don't agree that you're allowed to carry for any purpose other than for cooking on Shabbos, on Yantav, and that would be Bishame's opinion. So similarly, they would also not allow you to take out this produce through the skylight, that would also be usher according to them. When do we say this halacha? That halacha is only with regards to otzah. What's the halacha with regards to otzah? They're not allowed to take out from Rishus HaRabim, but that wasn't talking about moving within the same house of the skylight down to your main floor. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't machmir, isn't going to be machmir with regards to moving the produce to the skylight. The Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, no. Atu, tiltul, avtarach, so what's the whole purpose of tiltul in general? What's the purpose of tiltul? Shaila, mukta, betim, it seems to be a good raya for those who hold that mukta, the whole problem of mukta, is lest you come to carry in the shus rabbim. The Gemara seems to go like this over here. Because the Gemara is saying that really there's a tirach yaseir or something of moving in general, and the moving in general is going to come to lead you to come to move in shus rabbim. So that whole gzera is lest you come to shus rabbim, so Beis Shammai would make that gzera and not allow you to carry through the skylight either, and therefore, according to Beis Shammai, it would be something which is usher to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, maybe that actually would line up. We've kept that answer that potentially the previous Mishnah would be only Beis Hillel, and this Mishnah, it would be interesting though, would be a Stam Mishnah according to Beis Shammai. Why the Stam Mishnah would be like Beis Shammai, I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't ask that question, but that lechora is how the Gemara wants to leave it. It's still possible to answer the steer in the Mishnayos based on the fact that one is Beis Shammai and one is Beis Hillel. Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah. We gave a little bit of Akdama, just mention it again, that a person has a Tchum Shabbos, a person's only allowed to go 2,000 amos past his city limits in regards to halachas of Shabbos. Now a person can also, before Shabbos or Yandav, he can establish his Tchum. He could establish a shum, let's say he needs to travel more than 2,000 amos past the city limits. He could establish a shum, let's say 1,000 amos past the city limits. He'll be able to then travel 3,000 amos past the city, for example. If he does it in 1990, his mamash at the border of 2,000 amos, he'll be able to travel 4,000 amos. But when a person establishes his erev, it's important to note that it's not just like a magical thing that you could go 2,000 amos and then also go south. That if your person establishes, let's say in the example we gave, where you establish your erev 1,000 amos past the city limits, so that means that you're able to go 3,000 amos north. That means that you can only establish your southern border. You're only allowed to go in the south. You're only allowed to go 1,000 amos south when you do that. The example that we gave, you'd only be allowed to go at that point. So then, there's another halacha that. So let's say if there's two cities which are going to be more than 2,000 amos apart. Let's say they're 3,000 amos apart. So I could walk my 1,000 amos, and you could walk your 1,000 amos, we won't be able to meet. But if I establish my thing 1,000 amos north, and then I'm able to walk 2,000 amos, and you're able to establish 1,000 amos north to walk also, so then I wouldn't be allowed to, I wouldn't be allowed to then give something to you, to then you'll bring back to your city, to go back to your city, because there's a concept of a shvisa, even for the kalim, even for the things, objects also are subject to lacha shvisa. They're not allowed to travel more than you are also. If you establish a shvisa for the animal, for where you are also, you don't only be established, whatever gvul you have is the same thing for your object as well. And with that, we're ready to start the Mishnah. Mishnah says, the behemah v'kelim karagli abaydim, that the livestock and utensils are generally going to be considered like the feet, literally, of their owners, that they're allowed to be looped, whatever 2,000 amos, so the owner's allowed to go, that's where he's allowed to go. And the example that we gave before, that if I establish my ear of 1,000 amos, and I'm allowed to travel 3,000 amos, past 3,000 amos, also my objects are also not allowed to go. So I'm not allowed to go all the way to the other city, even though I can meet someone in the middle, and he could take it. Note that halacha is that even my kelim, even my objects, all objects would be in this category, even though Mishnah mentions specifically behemah v'kelim, livestock, and specifically utensils, but it applies to all objects as well. That'd be the same halacha. Moser behem tel avno l'roeh. So the Mishnah continues. What about if I give over my animal to my son or my shepherd in the yantav? Areilu k'raglei abaylim. They're still going to be considered that of my owner, because it wasn't. I was going to sue this that it wasn't established. I didn't. If I did give rishus before yantav or Shabbos to somebody, then it becomes like him. Like we mentioned, it becomes like the baylim. They become like the baylim. They'll be able to take it over. However, if an example where over here I didn't necessarily give it to any of them yet, so then it's not established who it is, so then I'm still considered the owner. If you have utensils designated for use by one of the brothers of a house, you knew that he was going to use it. We're talking about a case where you inherited your father's estate and the contents weren't invited yet, but they still live together, but one of them for sure was going to be used by the brothers. So then that's going to be subject to his tchum alone, because everybody knows he's going to use it. That object is going to be his. Is like his kiddush cup, that his father's kiddush cup, and he always let the let's say the bechor use the father's kiddush cup every Shabbos, and the father says, then clearly everyone knew that he was going to get it as part of the Yerusha. So that Kiddush cup would only be allowed to go with the Achav. However, Kalim, that was not, so that we wouldn't be in category. So then, sorry, but if you have something which that they're eventually going to divide up, we don't know whose they are, then you're going to be machbir for all the different chumim, whatever the common area is between them, you can go, but you're not allowed to go past the Erev of any of them. So let's say, example, you have the utensils are going to be in a place for if one brother placed an Erev Tchumin 2,000 amas north to the north, so then the object is only the area of 2,000 amas back to the south, to the permitted area, that's it. You're not allowed to go any more south than that. So that would be, because you have to be machmir to assume that he's part of, maybe it's, this item is really his. Ashoa kli mechaviro. If someone borrows utensils from his friend, me'erev yamtiv from before yamtiv, kiragle ashoa, that's like the person that borrowed, because again, he was established that it's his already, but he's borrowing it now, he is chayav and unten already, he's chayav to pay you back, to give it back to you, so that's already his. But yamtiv ever, it's already on yamtiv, so I was the owner on yamtiv, then it's kiragle mashal, then it's the owner, because again, it's all about who has it on when yamtiv kicks in. So too, if a woman borrows from her friend, she has condiments for cooking. She uses water, salt, or dough. And that's going to be it's going to be like both of theirs, because the condiments of salt or water were borrowed on Yamtiv. They became the owner's tchum on the beginning of Yamtiv. The food, though, which is hers, is going to be mixed in with that. So therefore, you have to machmer that the mixed in mixture is going to be really the product of both of them. Rabbi Yehuda poter Rabbayim neisha'ein v'ayim mamish. Rabbi Yehuda exempts water from this relacha, because water exists as a pot, is like nothing, it turns into nothing. So therefore, if they just gave the water, then it would be like whoever the other main components of the dish, that would be who's able to follow. So then now the Gemara points out that if you give the animal to your shepherd and Yantiv, it's still the owner's tchum rather than the shepherd. The Mishnah says, Masnisin, turning on to the next time now, is Delo Kirebi Dosa. Our Mishnah seemingly is not following the Sheet of Rabbi Dosa, because our Mishnah says, Disani will learn Rabbi Isa, Rabbi Dosa Omer, Vyamrali Rabbi Abba Shalom. Some say it was Abba Shalom, said, Halokech, Beimim Chavir Merv Yantiv. If someone purchased an animal from his friend before Yantiv, even though the seller only was able to hand it over to him on Yantiv itself, it's still going to be a tchum like the feet of the one purchasing it. The animal is going to be assuming the buyer's tchum because it was the seller's intention to buy it before Yantiv. So the Amoser, it's going to be, it's the buyer. I don't know if I mentioned that, it's the buyer. But Amoser Behima Lo Roe, and if someone gives an animal to a shepherd, Afal Pisha Lo Masra Lo Elo Biyomtiv, since even if he did not hand over to him until Yomtiv, Arelo Karaglia Roe, it's going to be considered like the feet of the shepherd himself, and therefore, this is going to be against our Mishnah, which told us that if the animal is given over to a shepherd in Yomtiv, the tchum of the owner is going to be applied. So Lachora, it's going to be a machokus over here between the two Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no. So even if you assume that our Mishnah is the Shita of Rabbi Dosa, v'lo kasha, and there's no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, because Kan Beroa Echad, in the Braisa, Rabbi Dosa refers to a case where there was only one shepherd. So it was clear who you were giving the animal to, but who you were giving the animal to, it was clear that you were going to give it to the animal, to the one shepherd. So therefore, you were giving it to the one shepherd, his tchum is going to be followed. However, Kan Vishneom, in our Mishnah, is referring to two shepherds, you're not sure who you're going to give it to, and therefore, we're assuming that the two shepherds, you don't know who you're going to give it to, and therefore you don't know whose tchum to follow, we're going to follow the owner's tchum. And the Gemara says, actually, this actually works out very nicely in the Lashon of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah specifically brought an example of Daikanami Diktani Livno Olaroe. We're specifically talking about a case where you gave the animal to your son or your shepherd. You weren't sure who before Yontif we were giving it to. Therefore, it has this, the category of the owner. But Abra, in another case, it wouldn't have the category of the owner. So Gemara says, Shmat Mila, we learned from the Mishnah in the Chanami that this would be the case only of two shepherds, but where you established that you were planning to give it to one shepherd before Yontif or Shabbos, that would not be the example. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Dosa, the Halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Dosa. So the Gemara says, Amir Rabbi Yochanan, wait a second, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that we should follow the opinion of Rabbi Dosa in the Braisa? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan told us in many circumstances, Halacha Kistam Mishnah, the Halacha follows, if you have a Stam Mishnah without an author, usually that's assumed because that was the general accepted opinion. So since that's the general accepted opinion, that's how we should follow. So Utsnan, we learn in our Mishnah, Behemah Vakilim Karagla Abaylim, that livestock and utensils are considered the Tchum, like their, of their owner, even when the owner subsequently gave the animal to a shepherd, lechora it still goes after the owner. So lechora this is going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Dosa, since our Stam Mishnah is against it, he should follow the Stam Mishnah and not Rabbi Dosa. So the Gemara says, no, but what is it? We just said, v'lavuk mina, we just gave an answer of kanbaro echad bekamishnerim, that Rabbi Dosa is speaking of a case we're talking about where you give it over to one shepherd, you knew you were going to give it over to one shepherd before Shabbos or Yomtiv, so therefore, really, Yomtiv, so then, In that example, you'd be allowed to. To assume that it's given to him, and therefore would follow him. But in the example of the Mishnah, that's referring to two shepherds, Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore accepts both rulings. And the Chiddush is that Rabbi Yochanan is even telling us to follow halacha follows Rabbi Dosa to imply that that we should follow Rabbi Dosa. That that's the very point. Rabbi Yochanan is trying to make clear that there is no machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Braisa and the Mishnah. That's what Rabbi Yochanan's Gufa is coming to say. Tanur Rabbanu, we learn in a Braisa. Shnayim shishalu chaluk echad b'shutfus. If two people borrowed a single garment jointly before Yantiv, so this one wanted to go in the morning to the Beis Midrash to wear that, they were going to wear this nice sweater. And the other one was going to wear the sweater at a night party on the night of Yantiv, so he was going to go. So they were both going to go outside the Tchum, and they wanted to establish their Tchum in opposite directions. So this one made his Erev to the north to enable him to reach his destination. And this one wanted to establish his Erev to the south. Since each of them established a different Tchum, the garment is going to be restricted to the Tchum that is only common to both of them. So therefore, the Mishnah Bereishis tells us, Zesha Arva Lav Latzafon, those who want to place the Erev to the north, Mahalach Latzafon Karag Lamishar Lav Ladaram, he may go to the north with the garment only as far as the feet of one who placed an Erev to the south is allowed to go. Zesha Arva Lav Daram, and this one established the one to the south, Mahalach only Ladaram Karag Lamishar Lav Latzafon, only is allowed to go as far south as the one who established his area to the north. Again, wherever you establish your area, you lose the area on the other side. So if you establish the area 1,000 amos north, so then you're only allowed to go 1,000 amos south. So you're only allowed to go 1,000 amos south. So the Gemara says, "V'im matzo atchum." So then if you put it, you establish a tchum all the way, let's say each one put it 2,000 amos to the north, and they don't put it 2,000 amos to the south. So then the Gemara says, "Harei zolay zemekum," and then you can't move the garment at all, because then this one is stuck. You're not allowed to, because he was able to go only further south. But that now once you're able to back to the north, he's not able to go anywhere because he wasn't planning on going south. But again, we're assuming that you're not allowed to establish multiple tchums on one item, just like not establish multiple tchums for one person. So therefore, the halacha follows. You would be not allowed in this circumstance. You would not be allowed to move the item. And where it says itmar, we learn shneim shalachul chavis to behema b'shutfus. If two people purchased a barrel of wine and an animal sheshecht in partnership and shutfus for yantiv, and they divided the meat and wine on yantiv, Rav Amar Rav says chavit musaris. The barrel is going to be permitted. You're allowed to be carrying it. Each partner is able to carry it wherever he wants throughout his tchum. Uvehema asur. However, the animal is going to be asur. It's not allowed to be carried except in the common tchum area. And Shmuel says chavis nami asur. The barrel is also going to be asur to move in their common area. So the big shalov over here is where they're planning on giving it out after on Yantiv. So the shaila is, do we say Brer? Brer is where we're retroactively going to clarify what we were establishing. So then that, because meaning that wine that I'm giving and that animal which I'm giving, is that everyone, I don't know, it's all mixed up right now, but once I give out the wine to him, we're partners right now, once I give it out to the wine to him, and now I take my share of wine and he takes his share, do we assume that retroactively it is assumed that this wine was always mine and this wine was always his? Or do we assume that there's no concept of Brer? That's a whole machlokas throughout the Shas. We're actually going to pass in here, this is where the halacha comes from. The Rishonim I'm going to paskin. This sugya of Brera is actually going to be paskined over here. But this is the whole shayla. Do we assume that there's a retroactive consideration or not? Is that allowed or not? So the Gemara says, "My kasava Rav." So if Rav holds ikasava Brera, so if Rav actually holds of the concept of Brera, that you're allowed to retroactively clarify what's going on over here, both with the meat and the animal. So then the Gemara says, "The nafila behema tishrei." Then the animal should also be permitted to throughout one's tchum, because retroactively is going to assume that this was always my animal. So this animal, this part of the animal that I'm eating, this part of the meat, that piece of steak is mine. The other piece of steak is his, so this piece of steak was always mine, so I don't have to assume that I have to share in my partner's tchum. It should only be my tchum from retroactively, always from the outset. So where's the ikser in brera? If he doesn't hold of any brera, fine. Then you should also hold afilu chavis nami asur. Then also you should only be allowed to move the wine in the common area of both tchums. However, if I don't assume of brera, then I should be able to move both of them as far as my tchum is, and no shaykhus to my partner whatsoever. So Gemara says the olam kasavar, and Shmuel's pashut, because Shmuel is just rejecting brera. Therefore, Shmuel says that the chavis is also asur and the meat is also the chavis is asur and the meat is asur. Everything's asur. So the Gemara says afilu chavis nami asur. So Rav really holds that there is a concept of brera. Vishanya behema. However, the case of the animal is different than the animal that was alive in the answer to the hunter, because the two shares of the different tchum boundaries are going to be drawing sustenance from another. Rashi explains, because the two areas of the meat, retroactively, we do generally assume things are going to be retroactively clarified. However, the animal belonging to each of them when yantav began was being yonik, because the animal bodily function is still alive right now. You didn't shecht it yet. So therefore, each portion of meat is drawing nourishment from the other, and therefore each portion is containing some part of substance of the other one, and therefore we assume that we were really holding, even if you hold of Brera, Rav would assume that there's a problem fundamentally with the animal, because it's the meat is going to be a problem, therefore you have to assume in both tchums, and as opposed to the other items which we do hold of Brera, and therefore you're just allowed to assume that it's going under your own tchum by yourself. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks a question on this answer, though. Amalei Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav, le'isr mukta lo chasho, but if regards to mukta, the Rabbanan are not concerned. Because if I'm assuming my portion of meat is only for me, then the other portion of meat are going to be mukta for me because it's not part of mine at all. So therefore, le'isr tchum and le'chashu, then I'm going to be concerned with regards to tchum, in regards to the interactions that restrict itself on the tchum area. If it's not a concern, then also the animal should be mukta as well. And you shouldn't be allowed to, since they're intended to divide it, you shouldn't be allowed to touch the other person's share whatsoever. So the Gemara says, shasik rav, Rav was silent to this question. So that's a big shiloh. What does that mean, Rav was silent over here? Some understand that Rav's silence means that he agreed to this point and he accepted that if you have sustenance drawn from one part of the animal to the other, that's not a significant factor. So therefore, if you accept the principle of Brira, therefore the meat should also be printed from one to the other. That's how Rashi assumes Bidas, the Balam Hor wants to assume like the Rush. That's how they all assume Bidas Rav. Others are going to say, no, Rav remains silent only because he didn't consider it significant. Therefore, if we accept the concept of Brira, we'd still say that you would restrict the meat to the Tchum, and he didn't agree with this Kasha. So the Gemara says, my Havila, so what's the Lacha? Rabbi Yosha Amar Yesh Brira. Rabbi Yosha shows that there is Brira, in general, separating your Tchum area, and therefore we'd have to be Machmir. Rabbi Yochan Amar ain't Brira. Rabbi Yochan says, like we're assuming Bidas Rav, that there was no Brira, so therefore the food is going to be like Shmuel, and he's going to hold in Brira, and therefore we have to be Machmir, that the Tchum is going to be like both of them. The Gemara says, Savar Rabbi Yosha, Rabbi Yosh Brira, wait a second, with a Chora, we have a Raya for Rabbi Yosha's interpretation of a Mishnah that he does not hold of Brira. That's none. We learn in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is all, we mentioned this Mishnah a little bit before, with regards to a Tumas Mace. We generally assume that any area that's under the area under the same roof as a mace has a Tumas Oel, and it's going to become an Avatuma. However, if the house has a door area which is going to be containing the dead body, so that it doesn't contain the dead body, but it has doors, so that the opening of the doorway, which is open, Alach L'Moshe Messina teaches you that when they're closed, then everything inside is going to become tummy. However, when you open one of them, then the other ones are going to remain tummy. Itself to Malates, that's the concept of Alach L'Moshe Messina. So the Gemara says, so now in the Mishnah tells us, Hamis Bebayis Vish B'Tachim Harbe, if you have a dead body in the house, it has many doors, but they're all closed. So now, Kulan Tmein, then all areas, all the doorways are going to, anything that's in these doorways, which is maybe a separate shul, still are going to become tummy. However, niftach echad mehem, if one of the doors are open, then hu tameh v'kulan tameh, that doorway is going to become tameh, and everything else is going to become tahor. So the Gemara says, chishit lo tzeh b'echad mehem, if I thought to remove it from one of the doors, oh, b'chalat shesh b'arba b'arba, or if I'm going to move it through a door, the dead body through a door, before tvachim, atelas al p'tachim, kulan, it saves all the other doorways from becoming tameh. B'shameh says, v'hu shichisha v'lev ad sholei mosameh. B'shameh says, this halach applies only before the person dies, but if already the person dies, it's too late, you're not allowed to establish that. However, b'shameh say that even after a person died, the other doors are going to become tameh. So the Gemara says, are going to become tameh, and the other one is going to remain tahor. So the Gemara is going to remain tameh. It's my love. Rabbi Yosha says, Beisila said this halacha only with regards to saying that the other entrances are Torah only from now on. Now, if you really hold of Brera, it should be that Lemafreya, whenever I decided to take out the mace, Reuben decides to take out the mace of the house, so then whenever he took it out of that doorway, that whatever, if you hold of Brera, the retroactively, whichever, that meant that the whole time he really was planning on going through that, so all the other doorways, whatever the contents was in there, should not have become tame if you hold of Brera. But the fact that he's saying it's only Mikan al-Abba from now forward, that implies he doesn't hold of Brera. As the Gemara just fleshes out, Mikan al-Abba in Lamafreya, that only from now going forward, it's going to become Tahor. However, Lamafreya, if we hold of Brera, you should have said no. The Gemara says, so Lechora, Rabbi Yosha doesn't hold of Brera. So the Gemara says, right, Ipuch, we should really flip the Shitas of Yochanan and Rabbi Yosha. That Rabbi Yosha Amar in Brera. Rabbi Yosha is going to hold of in Brera based on the fact that we interpret this Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yesh Brera. Rabbi Yochanan will hold that there is Brera. Okay, Bezer Hashem will pick up Amias the Rabbi Yochanan in tomorrow's stuff.